is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, sitting in for the great Malcolm Out Loud here on Viewpoint This Sunday. There is a lot going on in the impeachment world. There's a lot going on in our country. There is a lot going on everywhere. It never seems to end. We're going to try and put that into perspective today with my guests and sort out all of the things that are happening so that we can make some sense out of it as we go forward. So with me today is Ava Armstrong. Ava is a political commentator, a radio personality, and an author who writes about America's heroes. Also with us is Dennis Santiago. Dennis is an American strategist focused on asymmetrical warfare, arms control, and global stability. Good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you all here. So let's take a look. Let's jump right in here. We have the impeachment situation running, and we saw all week that the the prosecution side, though they want to tell you it's not prosecution, it's a different kind of thing, because I think they're trying to get around the fact that they're doing away with a lot of the normal rights that a person would have in a court. But we see Manager Schiff and Manager Nadler making all kinds of comments. And then, of course, you have Mr. Schumer, who cannot stay away from a microphone for any amount of time, coming out and trying to wrap things up. So, Ava, let's start with you. These commentary that is coming out of them, the Democrats on this side, what do you see and what are you hearing?
I think it's crazy, but I want to let them talk as much as possible, because I think if you give them enough time, that people will actually understand that they're completely crazy. Right. And that's what's happening.
You know, and you say that, crazy. Dennis, have you listened to Schiff? Have you heard, like, they have so many hours to fill. Instead of just making their case and stepping away, they're just pounding this constant repeat of their case. What does Schiff sound like to you?
Somebody with attention deficit disorder that just keeps going around in a loop and essentially doesn't really have a lot to say. And he knows he doesn't have a lot to say. And as he goes through the loops and the iterations, he gets more and more desperate in terms of trying to get people to listen to him. You know, it's the guy in the crowd trying to yell fire when everybody goes, "We're in a swimming pool."
Right. He's a great orator, yeah. Though. If you've heard the news, he's a great orator. He's unbelievable.
But what I see is, as the rhetoric goes on, and it is rhetoric, there has been a shift from the facts of that they have at hand and the accusations they're making against the president. Shift has been, now I think they're trying to put the Senate on trial.
Yes.
And basically saying, if you don't do what we expect you to do, you are you're the ones that are guilty at this point. It's a very strange legal tactic to put your jury on trial. And I think that is what is happening.
And to actually insult the jury.
Yes. It's kind of strange that's the tactic. I mean, I've seen tactics like that used in depositions and stuff, but they use it in front of the actual jury is kind of an uncommon thing. And I'm kind of surprised that they're not being called on it in terms of, it's kind of like berating the jury.
Sure.
And at the end of it, their closing arguments are hyperbolic. I mean, an imminent danger to the country? No.
They don't want him to run, and they're trying to cut him off at the pass, so to speak. Now, an interesting thing, I'm trying to think about why they would do that. Why would they attack that jury like that? But I think they probably understand that, with all things being equal, they're not going to get a conviction. There's not going to be enough senators to vote to convict. He's going to walk away. So are they really doing this, Ava, you think, for the audience at home who's not been paying attention? Because we know most people don't pay attention. Are they doing this for the people at home to hammer their case? Because I've seen some things on Twitter and on social media where people are saying, you know, I haven't paid attention up till now, but oh my God, I had no idea the president did all these things. They're believing.
Well, oh, they're playing to their base, which, you know, I think is shrinking by the day, but that's what they're doing this for. They're throwing red meat to the, you know, the people that are the real crazy radical left. And those are the ones who are driving the Democrat Party now. The Democrat Party is no longer a party of moderation. And you're seeing the mask has come off and you're seeing the real Democrat Party now. And I'm very thankful, actually, that they were given all this time to talk and talk and talk, because when you see the vitriol and the hatred and listen to all of the words that they've spoken, I mean, it has nothing to do with law. It has nothing to do with running this country. All it has to do with is taking down President Trump. That's all it has. That's it. There's nothing else.
Right. So one of the things I'm looking at, I'm looking for motive. So Dennis, when you see things in a very global way. Is this, if it's not about a conviction, which they know they're not going to get, if it is for their base to throw that red meat, what is really at stake here if Trump is reelected? What is the big prize that maybe we're not bringing up, but it's right there in the background?
Well, the big prize in this is whether or not the Democratic Party goes away. And you know, this is a party fighting for its very own survival at this point. It has internal strife. It has a group inside the party that are far left of the center. It's got orphan Democrats in large numbers wondering where they're going to go next. And this is kind of a search for relevancy. And so I think what you're really seeing here is they're trying to say something that will catch a wave in whatever is left of this now dispersed Democratic Party base.
And well, try they to are find kind of spread out, I agree. Bread.
Yeah, and bring them back together and turn them into a party again.
I have it's a late. Message, though. I have a message for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. It's a manufactured crisis. That's exactly what this impeachment is.
Right. I think you all absolutely, we know they made it up, just like they made up the Russian hoax. That was all made up to attack this man. This is the deep state attacking. What about the courts? Because if Trump is reelected, one of the things he's going to be able to do is probably appoint another Supreme Court justice and probably hundreds more federal justices to the benches across the country. Doesn't that change really the direction of the country? And don't you think that maybe that's what the Democrats really are seeing? All the progress they've made can be completely turned around if they lose the courts, because that's where they get legislation from, through the courts. Dennis, what say you?
I say, you know, the court, the direction of the court has already shifted quite a bit, because a lot of progress has already been made in that area. Another 4 years will, there'll probably be another Supreme Court justice. There will certainly be probably the conversions of several circuit courts over to the removal of or replacement of liberal judges, activist judges with constructionist judges. And that gets you back more to constitutional law. And it's going to happen. I mean, at this point, It's not an if it's going to happen, it's how it's going to happen. Because barring something unforeseen occurring on this planet, the Democrats know they're going to lose. So why are they, at this point, I think they're just trying to galvanize what's left of what they got. And it's not much, because, I mean, for an impeachment trial, to have a half-filled Senate gallery basically says nobody cares.
Right. Now, Ava, we were watching on the news, right? When the first day of this, there was a lot of coverage. A lot of people were watching. But I think people are dropping off. Where do you see the citizens in our country? Are they buying this or are they not buying this? You know, I was talking about the social media, but what do you think?
The poll, very disinterested in all of this. The polling is showing that they want them to work together, to work on things that matter to the country. We have many, many problems to deal with. Immigration, illegal immigration being one, but there are so many other things. Infrastructure, there's a ton of things that they could be doing productively, but they refuse to work with President Trump. He's extended his hand to them many, many times, and they refuse. They just, it's hatred. It's pure hatred. And they will do anything, legal or illegal, to take him out of his office. So, you know, I think Democrats are really getting tired. I think the entire audience is really getting tired of this.
You know, and I think you're right, because I tried to watch it, and I watched the opening day, and I saw a lot of what was going on, and I'm trying to listen to what they have to say. And basically, it sounded to me like a bunch of lies, because we know we have the transcript. They're talking about this phone call that he did, all these things, pressuring. I mean, when you listen to Schiff and to Nadler, they're talking about, and Jeffries too, Hakeem Jeffries was there, that how he made this plot and he had this great conspiracy going on. And all of these people are a part of this. And he did this evil thing. When you read the transcript, and it's just not there. But yeah, they're going on and on like it is.
And he has the authority as president to fire an ambassador at any location in the world. If there's an ambassador that's just not to his liking, it doesn't matter. You know, this Maria Yovanovitch, she is just really outspoken. And I mean, President Trump had every right to fire her. So they're trying to use that as a cudgel to, you know, bludgeon Trump with, but he has presidential authority. They keep trying to usurp it and make it sound like he's not president. He is.
Right. That's absolutely, since the beginning, anytime you want to watch them react really badly is when he exerts any presidential authority. That's when they lose their minds, because they don't like that he's doing it, which is absolutely amazing. So Dennis, we were talking before about the commentary that's coming out of, you know, Schiff and Nadler, and the things that they're saying, they're offensive. So we know that this Schiff lies, and he's been caught in how many lies. When he read that fake transcript in front of the House of Representatives, that was because I didn't think they believed that Trump would have released the transcript. So therefore, he was just going to come up with that, and that would have been run with the news. This is what the president said. He demanded it 8 times, all of that. And the president really pulled the rug out from under him, but he had no choice, and he went with it anyway. So the things that he's been saying, you know, telling them that they're all part of a cover-up, I see that the Republicans aren't liking it. How do you see that coming across, being told they're part of a cover-up?
It's extremely insulting to and I'm not just saying insulting in this case, but it breaks down the decorum of government, okay? Because there's supposed to be a level of respect. I mean, Roberts called him on it after they started yelling at each other and said, you know, this is not how this is supposed to work. And I think everybody else understands that this is not how this is supposed to work. And engaging in hyperbole, legal arguments are not hype, or hyperbole, it's going off the deep end on and telling people, you know, insulting people. This is not the tactic of a considered legal case. This is the tactic of an ambulance chaser.
Yeah, it's bullying. He's trying, I think, and that's where he's trying to set the table for the people listening in who haven't been paying attention, that, hey, if you vote, if all of this evidence we have here in front of us is so crystal clear, if you vote to remove him, you are part of a cover-up. And people at home hear that. That's what I'm seeing on social media. People that are just tuning in have no idea what this is. They're not paying attention like the American.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, yeah, but look at it this way, right? You know, so these guys, they're clearly clumsy in the way that they're attacking this. The president's legal team are even better orators, much better lawyers, much better at the logic of putting together cases. And here's the ironic thing of this, right? So this whole impeachment thing is going on right now. And you know what comes after this? You know, people are predicting that it's going to be a swift acquittal. And these are the left-wing analytical political papers that are saying that. And they're kind of like resigned to it. You know what follows this immediately after this impeachment trial is the State of the Union address, where Trump addresses the House of Representatives. It's kind of like watching Shakespeare and waiting to throw tomatoes, you know?
Well, it's going to be interesting if the acquittal comes before that. And the news were pushing him the other day. Are you going to postpone it? You're going to put it off? She says, no, I don't see a reason to put it off because this is all nonsense. So Ava, as far as those attacks on the people, we heard Schiff at the end of his closing statement, what he basically told them all was, you know, you're part of this cover-up if you don't vote for this. But he said, the administration let it be known to the Republican senators that if they vote to have more witnesses, their heads will be on a pike.
And yes, and that was specifically aimed at Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and a couple of other people. There were four that were kind of on the fence about things. Well, that certainly sealed the deal right there. Insulting them in that manner, because they knew that was not correct. That statement had never been made by President Trump. And this was just complete garbage. And, well, I think this, again, it shows you what a manufactured crisis this is. It's all made up. It's all a show.
Yep. I had an article that I put on America Out Loud, and it was about hypocrisy. And I think this fits right into it. Watching Schiff make that up again. How can anybody not see that he just, all the Republicans said, no one said that. No, nobody in administration threatened us. It's another blatant lie right in front of everyone. And nobody called him out. None of the media said, well, it's unfortunate he lied at the end. We saw Mr. Schumer come out. I don't know if you heard his commentary. He tried to do a little damage control, I think. He came out and said, well, listen, that comment really means nothing. It's just another excuse for the Republicans to be able to have cover to vote no so they can do their cover-up. Dennis, where do you see that going?
When I saw that comment come out from Schiff, you know, knowing he's, because he likes to throw these kinds of grenades, I think what I felt at that moment, the first thought I had was, geez, Nancy and Chuck just got hit by a bunch of fragments and they're not going to like this, because they immediately have to go into damage control whenever he opens his mouth. I don't think they're coordinating with each other nearly as well as they should. I mean, you know, if they're going to do a high crimes and misdemeanors case in front of the entire country in an age where everything you say is analyzed within 15 seconds of you uttering it, they really need to have their act together better. This is a very, very mediocre is the way I would characterize what they've done. I mean, it's shamefully bad. I mean, I'd be embarrassed.
Right. But it's funny when you watch the media response, you know, this is the greatest presentation we've ever seen. Mr. Schiff is an unbelievable orator. He really is fantastic. He's making such a powerful case. But Ava, doesn't it come down to that they're making a very powerful lie, because there's no facts to back up their case, is there?
Yeah, the mainstream media is basically digging their own grave, and they're digging it deeper right now. So, you know, it's really surreal for me to watch this take place, but there it is.
It's right in front of us, which I'm going to tell everybody out there. I have an article on the platform at AmericaOutloud.com, and basically it's called The Media's Big Mistake. And it's my interpretation, analysis of why they're making this big mistake to their own detriment. All right, so I want to turn our focus here. We're going to see more of this coming up in the next couple of days. The Right to Life March was in Washington yesterday, and it was a very well attended. I read over 225,000. My wife was actually there. She went down with our church, took a bus down to D.C. and participated in that. Did you see any coverage on that?
Yes, and I loved every minute of it, and it was so positive. And to juxtapose those pictures with the Senate, you know, inquiry or impeachment inquiry, it was just amazing for me to look at those two screens side by side. I mean, it told you everything you need to know.
Yep. And Dennis, the president came out and spoke. He's the first president to address the Right to Life group. Here's just another thing that this president is doing that's very conservative. I don't know how any of the never Trumpers could not be happy with what this man is doing.
Oh, I don't think there's anything that can make never Trumpers happy. They're the right of aisle equivalent of the Bernie Sanders camp. And but I mean, the really interesting thing about this week is you see these kinds of very large demonstrations, right? And then there was the one in Virginia. But what I really think people need to look at this is grassroots America is alive and well. All of these media narratives are all made up. And when you actually get people to come out, we have a lot more in common than we have different. And it's showing in very large, you know, gatherings. These are people who would normally never take the time. Your wife, I have friends that went to the rally in Virginia. This and their first time going out there, they said they had a very good time. It was very nice. And, you know, and regular Americans, when they go out and do stuff, the best part of this week is the kind of people that come out to do demonstrations that actually pick up their trash.
That was amazing. And that
are out in America. I mean, you know, we're here. We, the United States of America, is made up of very good people. And it came out this week. I'm very, very happy with all of these demonstrations and how they, and how they occurred. And well, maybe that's where everybody was. So there was, you know, who needed to go to the Senate gallery? The heck with that. There's better stuff to do.
Lies. At least,
yeah, you know, go to a party.
Out in the street, people were telling the truth. Well, listen, I'm glad we ended on that good note. You're right. Americans are, by and large, very good and decent people. We really need a convergence to come together. I don't know how we come together with people like Schiff with lying, but as both of you have said, there has to be a change in that party because they're going too far to the left. It's not our country, and for us to survive, we're going to have to get together. So I want to thank both of you for coming on with me this morning on Viewpoint this Sunday, and we'll be back in a minute with more.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm your sit-in host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. My show runs on America Out Loud every weekday at 3 p.m. That's Chasing Justice. So if you have a chance, come on over and join us over there. But today, I have the privilege of hosting Viewpoint this Sunday, sitting in for the great Malcolm Out Loud. So we have a lot to talk about in this segment, and I've asked our great voice, Dennis Santiago, to stay with us. But we also have now Ilana Friedman. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst, a political commentator, and host of the Friedman Report. All right, so one of the things I think we need to look at as this election season rolls on, we're seeing things we've really never seen in previous elections. Obviously, this impeachment is really a joke. It's concocted, as people were saying in the previous segment. But what we are seeing is a huge movement of African Americans and other minority groups towards President Trump. And, you know, I don't know if that's a permanent move towards the Republicans, but I think his policies and what he has done economically for everyone in the country has kind of led people to maybe give it a second look. So maybe it's the man or maybe it's the party. So, Ilana, what do you think? Is it the man or the party? What's driving our minority brothers and sisters towards Trump and the Republicans?
I think it's the man. He says all the right things and he does all the right things. And I don't think the African American community and also the Hispanic community have had such an advocate for their welfare in the history of this country. Everything that is happening for them, the jobs, the fact that people are working now who haven't been working and haven't been able to find jobs, and now there are more jobs than there are people to fill them. So I think what they're seeing is that he has benefited them. They have the taxes are better. He lowered the taxes. He removed the allow companies can function, and therefore they're now able to higher. Everything is good, and it's better for the black community than it has been in a long time. So I think this is a movement toward the man.
Okay. Dennis, what about you? Do you think it's towards the party or is it towards the man individually?
Well, I mean, you know, so I come at this from a different perspective where a lot of commentators talk about, you know, minorities and what's happening to them and all that kind of stuff. Well, my friend, I are one. You know, I'm Filipino, okay? And let me tell you that we, you know, my people, whatever, here's the reality. I think this is, it's a movement towards what the man has done. And what the man has done is he's broken down narratives that have constrained cultural groups in this country and turned things upside down. I have never felt in all of my dealings with people on the minority side of this country that there has ever been any lack of understanding about what being an American is all about. And so Trump's the kind of stuff that Trump stands for has always had support within all communities, and including the Black community, because I've been working with the Black community since the early 90s. And, you know, they're very reasonable people. What's kept that from appearing in general media is that the narrative writers have basically not allowed that part of the story to occur and become visible. Now it's visible because they've lost control of the narrative. And the fact of the matter is, you know, to a lot of people it's got that only ever look at the narrative and don't really get to understand just how normal these cultures are within our country. It's news, but the real news is that the narrative is blown. And here we are now with people being able to say what's really on their minds. And guess what? You know, what's really on their minds is they like the fact that there's a guy in the White House that's actually doing what he said he was supposed to do.
Right. And I look at that and I hear your analysis and I think you're spot on. What I don't like and what I think has prevented us as a country really from coming together is all of putting everybody in these different boxes, this group and that group and that group. Your point that everybody in all of these different groups, we all want the same thing. We want to be able to take care of our families. We want to have a job that's fulfilling. We want to have a job that's financially good for us. We want to be able to have a house and we want to send our kids to school. There's no difference in any community in our country. But I think people that write that narrative are trying to keep us apart, because bringing us together puts a lot of people out of work, first of all, whose life is all about creating trouble. But I would like to see, as we get closer and closer, that those walls continue to drop. So Ilana, when you see this, this movement, do you see this as this is obviously a positive. Where does it go from here? How do we keep the momentum going?
Well, I think we saw a bit of it on last Monday when the march on what they call Lobby Day in Richmond took place. This was an extraordinary 22,000 people descended on this not very large city of Richmond, Virginia. And they did exactly what they should have done. They came, they gave their message to the State House. They made it very clear what they were there for. As you pointed out, they cleaned up after themselves. They went home. They didn't leave a disaster on the streets. This was extraordinary, and it was people from every group of Americans came together as Americans, and this is the way we have to do it. They gave us the example. They showed us how. Now we have to do the next step. We have to take the next step and make this happen again. And it happened again with the Women's March. The March for Life. And this, so we saw it twice in 1 week, where thousands of people came together and made a statement about what America is supposed to be like. And I think this is an example for the rest of us to continue doing this.
And when you're absolutely right, I was saying before that my wife Kathleen went down to the March for Life, and she was sending me back some pictures. You know, you look at all the crowds, all the people. The president was there. She said, "What's amazing though is that it was really every group of Americans were there, and they were all there for a united purpose." And this is where I think that people can cut us apart, is that we do have that united purpose. And when it's open like that, whether it be, you know, the Second Amendment rights of everyone, or whether it be the March for Life, everyone came together. She said there were signs there. there were, what was it, black women for Trump, black men for Trump. She even saw a sign that said black babies for Trump because, you know, he wants to save the babies. I thought that was wonderful. In the Virginia march about the guns, one of the most striking pictures that I saw that really moved me was you had all of these guys and girls down there with their AR-15s and all their rifles. And there was one particular picture. There was a white guy standing next to a black guy. They had their arms on each other's shoulder and their guns were there. They were united in a purpose and they looked like Americans. And I'm like, how great would it be if we could get past all of this nonsense that separates us and really move it forward? So I think going towards the man, I hope that he changes the paradigm for the presidents that come after him, at least a little bit. Because if not, we're going to go back to the swamp. We're going to lose a lot of things.
The really, I think a new example and a new minimum was set this week in these demonstrations. And so I was joking with people about it and go like, okay, so from now on, at one of these major political demonstrations, it's if you don't pick up your brass and trash, you lose.
Right.
And if we set that kind of a standard of decorum in our political discourse, I think we're going to do all right.
Right. Now, another factor, though, in here that I've seen is Kanye West. You know, Kanye West is this very popular musician, songwriter, brilliant businessman. You know, Kanye West is out there, and by all accounts, watching, you know, he's going to churches, he's found God, he's found Jesus, and he's preaching that loudly. He's not hiding from it. But he's also a very big supporter of President Trump. He runs around with the Make America Great hat on. He doesn't shy away from it. And he talks about the good things that Trump is doing. And I think those are kind of going to rip the mask off this separation. When you start to have people in the different communities that have a voice that say, hey, wait a minute, this is good for all of us. Let's all come together and it's okay. See, I'm doing it, you know, and people can come together then at that point. And I think that's really, really where we need to go.
You know, let me tell you something about Kanye and his family. You know, cause I live out in California, right? And so that's Kanye West, the Kardashians, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner. People don't really get the fact that the entire time that these people are in the public eye, you know, they would do things like support troops and really for all the hype and that goes along with their being celebrities, which is a business and they're out to make money, they're just regular Americans like everybody else. And that's starting to show too. And I think it's great.
I do too. And I think when you talk about the Kardashians, you know, they become almost like a cliche. But you're right. I remember Kim Kardashian going to the White House to talk to President Trump about prison reform. And all of a sudden there's prison reform. Mm-hmm. Prison reform doesn't need to take place. We need to look at our system and make sure that it's proper, that people who belong in jail stay in jail, and people who don't belong in jail, that we get them out of there. You know, nobody wants to put anybody in jail, but you're right. I have seen them doing things out there in the world that are good. And it's okay to use that celebrity. That's what celebrity would be a good use of, you know, as opposed to self-aggrandizement and, you know, all the nonsense that they talk about. So Ilana, we see a lot of people, I think when you were saying that the juxtaposition of the two screens of this great president talking to all the people at the Life March, and at the other side, you had the impeachment hearing going on. When we see that this president has really had a lot of great accomplishments that you would think in two terms, you might be lucky to get half of them. And he's doing this under great duress. What are some of the great things you see that he's done?
Well, you know, first of all, he's keeping his promises. And I think that's a big deal because it's most common for presidential candidates to promise everything and deliver whatever, you know, maybe a few things. He has gone down the list, starting with the wall, starting with moving the embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, continuing with creating jobs and basically laughing in Obama's face by creating all of these trade deals. Obama says, what does he have, a magic wand? But the reality is he knows how to create deals, and he's made these fantastic trade deals with Mexico and Canada, with Japan. He's going to make one with England. He's made one with China, of all things. I mean, this is extraordinary, and he's done it in the face of so much resistance, people who won't come to meetings. You know, he calls a meeting and nobody shows up from the other side. This is crazy that they won't. That there is no kind of mutual agreement that they will move forward together. The Democrats are absolutely determined to destroy him, and he's done all this in spite of that. And I think it's absolutely remarkable.
I think it is too. Now, let's turn our focus here a little bit to something that's a little scarier. You know, we're hearing now coronavirus. You know, coronavirus. We had SARS back in the past. We've had bird flu. We've had all these other things that, you know, they hype us up and scare us to death. And then nothing really comes out of it. Ilana, what's up with this coronavirus?
Well, it's a serious thing. It's not something that we can take lightly. Flu all by itself has been creating some havoc in this country, but the coronavirus is much worse because they really do not know what to do with it. And what they're doing right now is trying to identify it and then to contain it. There's a whole section of China around where this virus began, the coronavirus, and they have isolated it. They've closed it. There are no trains going in and out. There are no travelers going in and out. And then there is also right here in the United States, several airports now have heat sensors to try to see if people have fevers coming in through the airports. They're trying to identify people who have come from the region where this began in China. They're really starting to put certain kinds of very serious restrictions on movement where they feel it's necessary. But the big deal about this is that it's a variation of a former virus that was related to SARS and MERS and a few other, you know, pandemics that have been around. And what we have now is a situation where we are trying to catch up to everything that's going on with this disease, but we're behind the eight ball because we don't know yet how to deal with it. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have a prevention. The only thing we can do is try to keep people from infecting each other.
Right. Now, Dennis, when you look at this, I'm going to put you in charge. You're the gatekeeper. You're going to determine who comes in this country and who doesn't come in this country. We know this is now coming from China. How many people are coming back and forth from China every day? I know a lot of people that have business jobs there, that they fly in for 2 weeks, they come home for a week, they go back. How do we control to make sure we're not having people come in that are sick? You know, doesn't this go with our trying to control our borders kind of a thing?
It does go with trying to control our borders. And as Ilana pointed out, at all of the airports now, where there are flights coming in from China, they've started to install infrared detectors that really do read the temperature of everybody coming through there. So as you're coming through customs, there's a lot more robotic and sensor technology that is watching you. And they're looking for people that have heat signatures. And they'll pull you out of line. And they haven't got to the point of quarantining everybody who was on the airplane yet. But it's possible they might get to that point. I mean, it depends on how far this spreads. This is the thing about these coronaviruses is that they're what are called species jumping viruses. And it started from animals and is capable of infecting humans. And the problem that they have in the area where this came from is that people were handling and cutting up meat in the market and it was infected meat. When you cook it, it's okay. But the problem is it was spreading in the air in the open markets as they were basically chopping the meat up and the blood was going to other people. And that's how the infection occurs.
Sure. You touch that and you rub your eye and next thing you know, you're sick and you
can. Yeah, it's kind of like getting any other flu. But the problem is it's coming from a non-human source as it begins. And it is transmittable between humans. What I'm really seeing here is, you know, we've always had this fear of that China has a lot of problems internally that are related to basic health, basic food. I mean, we just concluded the trade deal where we're going to be sending over tons and tons and tons of food because their agricultural system and their meat production system got into trouble because of domestic problems, and they need food aid. So there's all kinds of challenges that the Chinese and the Chinese government are facing, this being one of them. I think they're responding quite expeditiously in that they've closed off the entire city where this thing started.
That's scary. That sounds apocalyptic almost, you know, like it's worse than they're telling us.
But it's kind of the same thing the world did when Ebola came out. You know, we closed off parts of the world for that. Mm-hmm. And on all the flights coming from that part of the world, they installed the same set of infrared sensors in all of the ports going in and out to try to stem the flow or at least catch people as they were coming through. But this is all part of how pandemic control works. And there's actually is an entire global cooperation system about this. It's coming in. It's activating now, and you see it. It shows up in the news. It's not as mysterious as people think.
It can be very scary. I know the news reports are scary, and I know Alana, when you brought up, that it's could be potentially worse than we think it is. We should all just hope that our medical people do the right thing, that the people at the borders are doing the right thing, that technology works, and we can see who's coming across and who might be ill, and help them. You know, do what we have to do to help them. We don't want sick people running around. So listen, I want to thank the two of you for being here on Viewpoint this Sunday with me. It's really been great. I think we covered a lot of ground. There's a lot more to come this morning, but I want to thank Ilana Friedman and Dennis Santiago, two great people here on the show. And we will be back with more Viewpoint this Sunday in a minute.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Pull up your chair, get your cup of coffee, and I want to talk a little bit about what I see going on in our country. So when I look at our country, I look at the expanse of America. You know, it's beyond just my lifetime. You know, most people have a tendency to think that, you know, the world started the day they were born. You know, that's where history is. You know, whatever was going on when you were born, that was really the thing. And we don't always look back. I have always had an appreciation for our country, because it was taught to me at a young age that America was special. America was important. The rest of the world, you know, was not like America. And I have found that to be true in so many ways as I've grown up and become a man, and I see the world and I'm involved out there. The specialness of America is in the promise of what America offers. Everybody, every man and woman in this country is offered the same exact opportunity. Now, a lot of people will argue that opportunity is not enough. You have to make outcome. And I suppose people can make a case for that. I mean, that's what our socialist friends do. They make a case that it's not just opportunity, because not everyone can, you know, take advantage of that opportunity. So therefore, someone has to come in and make sure that there's also outcome. That outcome is everyone has everything. this is part of, I think, human nature. You know, I say all the time in a lot of the things that I write, and it's come clear to me spending years and years in law enforcement and dealing with people, that the default position of humanity is actually tyranny. You know, we started out as a species and a race, and the strong person controls everything, right? That strong person makes the rules. We've seen this in our history as a people, time and time again, that until very recently, until the advent of America, it was really the strongest made the rule. And if you didn't go along with that strong rule, you know, you got crushed, pretty much. You got crushed. We saw nations destroy other nations, men destroy men. We've seen tyrannical leaders rise up and kill millions and millions of people. In the midst of all of this, our founding fathers, you know, as flawed as they were, because they were people, they're men. I ask anybody out there, you don't have flaws? We all have flaws. These men that created this constitution, that took this concept of what I think humanity is supposed to be, you know, and I don't want to really bridge it to religion, but I think really there's no other way to go around it but that, you know, God had an intention for humanity to live. And that intention wasn't to live under a tyrannical boot telling you what to do and to kill you if you didn't agree. I think we're meant to live free. I think we're meant to have opportunity. And the key to that is free will, right? That's the hinge pin, at least for my religion. My religion, the hinge pin is free will. I don't have to follow my God. I could do whatever Joe wants to do, right? Or I can see the better path and kind of come along, side with my God, and follow that. That's one of the things I've seen in my life that's really true. But I want to connect that back. That free will is called opportunity. Opportunity is what America offers every single person. Now, if you've ever listened to Chasing Justice here on America Out Loud, you know that I talk about my upbringing. I started with a very beautiful, very, very nice family, normal, regular family. My father was a union electrician. He moved us out of Jersey City to the Jersey Shore so that we would have a better life for the family. My father drove 2.5 hours sometimes back and forth to New York every day to do his job. But he did that because it was opportunity, right? He got this great job, and then he had opportunity to make a better life for his family. And that meant moving us down here, and then he took on that burden, okay? So I saw this since early on, that opportunity is really what freedom is all about. You have opportunity. So I could either learn from my father's lesson, or I could ignore it and say, no, it's not right. Now, as my family went on, we started, like I said, very normal, average family. We went on one vacation a year, maybe. We would go to Wildwood. You know, my mother and father were part of the VFW, and they would have a convention every year, and we would go to that, and all my cousins and all our friends. It was great. It was nothing outrageous. It was a week in a hotel, and you go to the boardwalk down there. Well, my father passed away very early in life. He was only 37 years old. We were on a hunting trip. I was 14 years old, and God bless him, the poor man had a heart attack, and he died in my arms, literally. Well, that moment changed me as a person. It changed me as a person. Say that there was something spiritual that happened. I went from being a kid to a man in about 3 seconds. And I felt it. I felt it was real. I felt there was something more to all of this than just this random we happen to be here. It was revealed to me. Now, I'm not a holy roller. I go to church. But I did see something more in that 3 seconds that changed me as a human being at 14 years old. And I see that in our country. It's the opportunity. It's the concept of what America is. I had a choice at that moment. I could have gone one way and been sad and miserable and blame the world. But I chose to go a different direction. I chose to learn the lesson my father had taught me. And in the years that came after that, I watched my mother, as this young woman, struggle to raise me and my brother. It was very difficult. But I watched her. She didn't complain. She didn't argue. She didn't demand that someone should take care of her. She went to work and she took care of us. And we made a good home for ourselves. And I learned that lesson. So when I started my family, my goal was to create a good and decent family, right? I met my wonderful wife, who really is the better part of the duo. There's no doubt about it. Miss Kathy is. But she's a good person, and she helped to bring out the good in me. And I took opportunity. See, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I didn't have, a brand new car when I turned 16. I had opportunity, though. And that's what America gave me. I can choose to make something out of my life, or I could have been a complainer and miserable. And instead, I've made a great life. I've made a great life based on the opportunities that I've been given. And America, the concept of America, is what all of us have. When I see in recent times, as we're moving along, the dream of America was denied to many people, I think because of lack of opportunity. And of course, we can't deny it. There were people that didn't like other people. We still have that today, right? We're still dealing with that today. But we're getting better. It's getting better. And I was talking earlier on the show with Dennis and Alana about the movement of the African-American community and the other minority communities towards President Trump. And we had that conversation. Is it towards Trump or is it towards the Republicans and conservatives? And I think we kind of all agree it's towards Trump because of what he's doing. And really, what has he done? By transforming the economy, not for one group or that group or for those people, he transformed the whole economy, which gives everybody opportunity. All of us had great opportunity. There are more jobs now than there are people to take them. That means that somebody who had no opportunity before can now do something that they probably never could have done before. Get a better job, change jobs, jump jobs, go learn a skill. Maybe there's so many jobs now, people will train you to do things. This is opportunity. This is America. And this is why people are pulling towards this guy, towards President Trump. Now, we all know that he's a man like anybody else. He's got his flaws. We all know them. But his personal way of doing business, he has done some tremendous things. And all those things, while they're great accomplishments for him, and they will go down in the record books as look what this guy did, especially in the face of this illegitimate impeachment thing that's going on. He did all of these things for every American, right? Isn't that what we would hope our leaders would do, right? As opposed to being the tyrannical leader who says, do what I say. What our system allows when you have a man like Trump to make opportunity. Hey, I'm not telling you all you're going to have the greatest job in the world. I'm making opportunity. You go out now and it's there for you to take, all of you. All of us in America, every group, every race, every creed, all of us. And as we're seeing that opportunity, as that opportunity grows, and people can take a bite out of the American pie, and they can have this American dream, more and more people, suddenly the barriers between us don't seem so difficult. Maybe we can have a moment where we can take the pain of the past, recognize it for what it is, and we can move on a little bit, right? 35% of our minority brothers and sisters are now openly supporting President Trump. That is a huge number in our country. If he maintained that number and the Republican Party maintained that number, it'd be unstoppable forever, because we're all one family here. And this opportunity gives everyone a chance to participate. You know, I think we become enlightened enough that if you hate somebody because of their nationality, if you hate somebody because of the color of their skin or some other ridiculous thing like that, there's something wrong with you. I don't care who lives in the house next door to me, as long as we're all on the same page. We want to have decent lives. We want to take care of our families. We want to care about each other. This is born of opportunity. So the more opportunity we have, I mean, how many times can I say that word, opportunity? The more opportunity we have, the better things will get. We got to keep our eyes and our ears open and sometimes keep our mouth shut, right? And move forward. Now, that's a funny thing to say for a talk show host, right? Keep my mouth shut. But what I'm saying is that instead of always complaining, instead of demanding someone else do for us, we need to get the message out. Opportunity. It's opportunity. go and grab your piece of the American dream. It's there for you. It's there for everybody. So my heroes now are these people that showed up to the 2A rally. They showed up there to support not only their right, but my right and your right. That's part of this country. That's part of this opportunity. It's all interwoven together. And it seems very clear to me. The people that showed up at the Right to Life March, you know, they're there to support these little most innocent humans of all, these little babies, right? We see the laws that are being put in place in our country where they're saying you can have the baby and then kill the baby. But where are we going with this, right? So the people that show up at that march and they stand up and they say, no, listen, we're not telling you how to run your life. We're saying this. Who's speaking up for the baby? They were speaking up for the baby. To me, those kind of people are very, very powerful, and they're my heroes now, each and every one of them. And Miss Kathy went, and she is my hero. And all of you out there that listen in, you know, you turn on the dial and you have a choice. And you're choosing to listen to America Out Loud. All right? It's about freedom. America Out Loud is about opportunity. This is what I see as the greatest gift for all of us. And I'm hoping that in the days and weeks ahead, as this impeachment nonsense hopefully comes to a head and disappears, that it might be a moment that we can all look around at each other and say, what are we doing? What are we doing here? This impeachment was made up to stop this president, when what is he doing other than making it great for all of us? Because they don't like him, because he's taking apart their power structure, because he's taking away the elite's opportunity to have a better life than you and me just because they're the elites. Maybe there'll be a moment when we can all look at each other when this is over and the truth comes out. And this is where I'm hoping Mr. Bob Barr comes out with the truth and lays it all out, because we know the media is not going to tell us the truth. Right? The media is not going to tell us the truth about any of this. They're part of the problem now. So we're hoping that, at least I'm hoping that, when this all is done and said and it comes out, there could be a watershed moment for all of us on both sides of the aisle to say, let's take a deep breath. Let's stop here already with all of this vitriol, this back and forth, winning at all costs just to win. Whether or not I'm right, I'm just going to win. I'm not going to let you win. That doesn't help us. We need to move forward from this. So I guess it's a long way of saying that as I'm looking at our country, I'm looking what's going on, looking to the future, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful for the balance of my life that I'm blessed to be here. I'm hopeful for my children's lives. And now my first little grandbaby is here, Annalisa Grace. And I'm hopeful for her and for all the children out there that America remains, as Ronald Reagan said, that shining city on a hill where opportunity belongs to every American, that we can get along as brothers and sisters. You know, does that sound starry-eyed? Does that sound fluffy? I don't know. It's how I feel, and it's how I hope we can all move together in the same direction, because America really is the greatest place on earth. And it's all because of all of us. If we could just see the beauty in what America is and get past our anger and our hatred and look forward. And one of the places that you do that is right here on America Out Loud. And that's why I am so grateful that I have this opportunity to sit with you and talk about what's going on, about the future and life. And I want to thank you all for listening for the last couple of weeks. Let's all be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, because it's time to get involved. It's time to get loud.